Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Welcome back. 51551 is the text. Now, in April just gone, you'll have read and heard that Julian Benson, dancer, choreographer, former judge on Dancing with the Stars, he died and he was only 54. He kept a cystic fibrosis diagnosis a secret for over 40 years. And then he appeared and announced it on The Late Late in 2018, revealing the condition. And he shared the dream of creating a charity to support others who lived with CF. And next Saturday, the Julian Benson Gala Ball will take place. Two of his friends are with us to talk about the charity he founded and his extraordinary and very sparkly life. Claudine Keane, a model and style influencer, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
And Sarah McKenna is here as well, best friends with Julian. And you're telling me you've brought a bit of Julian with you, Sarah.
I am. I'm wearing his scarf.
It's a lovely
today.
Scarf.
Thank you.
It is gorgeous.
It's one of his less glittery pieces of clothing. I didn't think I'd be comfortable in the...
that didn't have glitter all over it.
Actually, yes, he was most comfortable in velour.
Velour. Yeah.
Did you actually think twice today about how you dressed because he might be
yes,
judging you over the shoulder?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I wore his favourite red jacket, as in the one he liked me to wear. The only concession was I did straighten my hair. He preferred me curly. Preferred me natural.
You have to
and
have
curly.
Your own independence, don't
you?
You
do have to. You do have to, yeah. Beyond the grave, I could feel the hand reaching out on that one.
Not even your besties are right about everything.
Exactly. Exactly, Oliver.
Claudine Keane, you became friends with Julian a good way back. You were in college, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was 18 years of age. I was in UCD in this huge, big new campus from a small secondary school. And a group of us girls were like, should we give this... We're seeing around the campus notices about, you know, trialing out for a fashion show. Should we give this a go? None of us thought we'd get in. It was just a bit of crack. And we ended up getting in. Julian selected us for it. And I have friends to this day, like Rosanna, Davison, Roz, Lipsid.
Yeah.
We all went through the UCD fashion show together
really?
With Julian. Yeah. And actually, Julian thankfully never told us, but he had agents or like model agents out looking at our last rehearsal before the show. 6 months of rehearsals, a complete life force, Julian was like amazing. Taught us how to dance when we couldn't dance, taught us how to walk properly with books on our head and like, you know,
really,
one foot.
That kind
oh, yeah.
Important.
Oh, honestly, he was unbelievable. And
he, I believe, has a very strong first impression. Did you ring your mum?
I rang my mum and I was like, Mum, you have to come tomorrow for a rehearsal. This guy is a, like, I mean, he's, I've never met anyone like him. He's a life force. He's full of energy, charisma. Like, wait till you meet him. So my mum arrived and sat at the back of the hall. I was quite like, Mom, just keep to the back there now. And she was like, oh my God, is it okay if I come tomorrow or the next session? He was so enthusiastic and it spread. It spread around all of us. He changed my personality in a way that he
really?
Gave me confidence in a big, huge campus like UCD. It's so easy to get lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of brought us all out and was like, you know, shake that inhibition off. Why do you have any inhibitions? Go for it. Life's too short, you know, all of these kind of things. And, you know, as I said, he'd brought those agents that day. They called myself, Rosanna, Roz out. And that's the reason we did Miss Ireland. So we have Julian to thank
for
that. We were built up, yeah.
Sarah, you were, I think, a teenager when you met Julian.
Yes, I was 13. And talking about first impressions, I mean, really very strong first impression. I had finally persuaded my parents to let me go to a performing arts school. And it was in Exchequer Street, the old Central Hotel. I walked in. Julian was there, you know, sitting Fame style, leg warmers, etc., all done up with a bunch of other people who looked just effortlessly cool. And I walked in, this really shy 13-year-old, and I think I had a Walkman and I had a shopping bag from like Unique Menswear or something with a skinny black tie that I'd bought for a guy I fancied. And aww. Julian was like, oh, hello, who are you? And, I like that Walkman. Oh, can I buy that Walkman from you? And what have you got in the bag? Show me. Oh, that's lovely. That'd look really lovely on me.
Yeah. He was really good at building up confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he basically took me under his wing from that day. He declared himself my best friend from that day, and we were pretty much inseparable then.
Mm. And he becomes friends with your parents, the whole family.
The two families were very connected. Like, I was very close to his family, his mum and his brother, and still am. And he adored my parents and my sister, and yeah, really, really close.
And the friendship flourishes. You go into business together, you go into all sorts of adventures.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's because, just like you were saying, Claudine, he made you go on adventures. I mean, any day could be an adventure. You know, I sent some photos through to your producer earlier you know, any night out with Julian could turn into an adventure, but he was very much like limitless in his beliefs for himself, which is really, you know, strongly brought forward by his mum.
Yeah.
And he had that for other people too. He could see things in you that you couldn't see, and he really wanted you to reach your potential, or at least try for your dreams. Mm. And he made you believe that you could do it.
With so many people.
With so many people. And in addition to that, he had a knack for knowing what you needed at that particular time, what any person needed. And even though he had a very, very close group of good friends, close friends that he really trusted in, he was a very good counsel to lots of people.
Yeah.
Right. Did he advise you on men then after your first shopping experiences?
Well, his advice to me on men was, no men, please, I'm it. I'm it for you, regardless of the circumstances.
I think Julian's mom had you, you know, in line to
she
be
did.
The wife.
She did, for sure. Yeah, she did. She didn't see any impediment to that, even after things were revealed. And he kind of thought it too. He kind of thought, well, you know, maybe we will just get married if we
marry your friend.
Just marry your friend. We'll have a great time.
Exactly.
So,
because you knew him so well, I presume he had multiple friendships around the place. But if you were in the core group, that would be a special place for him to dwell.
Yeah, he gave so much advice. He was very selfless. There's not many people that you meet that actually genuinely just want to push you forward or see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And he had a great, as you just said, Sarah, a great eye for, you know, seeing something and seeing potential and wanting to help you without getting any rewards for it, you know, just being a great person. Always so enthusiastic, always pushing you forward and just being a sparkle. Like, he's Captain Sparkle, isn't he?
He's
so missed by us all, really. It's such a loss, but we have to keep his legacy alive, and that's why we're here today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Sarah, since we're talking about, you did have a wedding in the end, not to Julian.
but you asked him
to be the bridesman.
I did, yeah. So he did. Actually, you know, himself and Maura signed the seal of approval on Garode, my husband. And then when it came to the wedding, which was in Venice, we wanted him to be the bridesman, and he declined. He wanted really us to be able to shine on the day, and he didn't want to pull any focus from me.
Very good.
But then himself and his mum showed up in white, cream, silk and linen outfits, looking like, as I said at his funeral, so I'm repeating myself here, Valentino and his rich Contessa. That's exactly what they look like, or something from a Patricia Highsmith novel, right? And
the number one faux pas.
Absolutely. Well, white, they just look so amazing.
Don't want to take this spotlight off you. Yeah.
But I mean, then when we came out of the church, and we went to get our boat back to the hotel. We had a special boat back to the hotel, and the boatman had seen Maura and Julian come out in white, assumed they were the bride and groom, and took them back to the hotel. He was going, "Oh, she's really laid it on for us, hasn't she? This is fantastic. Look at the level." Yeah, he was on our boat. So we laughed about that. Our boat was hijacked. We laughed about that for a long time.
He stole the bride boat having shown up in white, because he was so well dressed, they just assumed this is
the... Exactly. And that's hilarious.
Dave was asking, did he come on honeymoon with us as well? He didn't, but that was a concession.
You didn't want to ruin the wife, Valentina.
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant.
Claudine, you were mentioning obviously the charity and everything, but in his life, everyone, his friends knew he had cystic fibrosis, but it wasn't publicly known.
No.
Did he talk about not revealing it until he chose to?
I actually, the first and second year of doing the fashion show, Julian didn't tell us about his, you know, having cystic fibrosis. And I think he just didn't want it to define him. He was his own. He didn't want to be judged. He was his own person. He was full of energy, and he just didn't want any stigma attached at that time. But when we got to our last year, and we'd been 3 years in UCD with him, he did tell us then. Mm-hmm. And we were shocked, because this is the guy that we're handing in sick notes to. You know, he was there every day. He was a force of nature, much more energetic than we were.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were just so surprised. But it just showed as well how selfless he was. He wasn't looking for, you know, he never liked that side of it. He only wanted to help other people. And now I think in the last 10 years or so, he really just wanted to raise awareness for cystic fibrosis and for his foundation, the Julian Benson Foundation. And just to know that, you know, you can have a full life. Like when Julian was younger, he was given, I think, to the age of 12 to survive.
Wow.
And he had such a full life. He was a choreographer, a dancer, and much, much more.
An amazing and talent agent.
Amazing talent.
A great businessman.
A great businessman, yeah.
And by the time he announces it, the world could look at him and say, it hasn't held this man.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Here he is on The Late Late in 2018 when he reveals the CF, and it sums up his and his mother's attitude to the condition.
I was felt like any other child.
Good.
My mum had just worked this fantastic scenario where I went to school like everybody else. Yeah. I knew, okay, Julian gets up, Julian takes his medication, he goes to school, he does everything else, and I was encouraged to do everything I really wanted to do. So for me, I felt like everybody else. I mean, I suppose I have CF, but CF doesn't have me. It doesn't define who I am.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. And I really mean that. And I put that down to my mum because I was encouraged to do everything I wanted to do.
And he did.
Yeah.
He did.
He had such a great voice, didn't he?
He did.
He did. Very distinctive voice.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely and husky and... Yeah, you'd know him anywhere. Well, the minute he walked into the room, Julian's arrived.
he always wanted... company, not sympathy, when he was sick.
Right.
And it's just back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, when he was in hospital, he wanted people to be able to come in and visit him, but he only had told three people apart from family, mm-hmm. you know, in the earlier years that he had CF, and he really maintained that tight group. He didn't want everyone coming in until the latter years. But he felt the same way for other patients and for people who were living further from the hospital than he was. He knew that they couldn't mm-hmm. Get in to see their families.
This was the key to him.
This was the key to Tranquility House, to provide a home from home for CF patients and their families so that they could get those visits that are needed for their recovery.
So he was living in Dublin. He was able to go to hospital
exactly.
for his treatments. And he was looking around at other people and realising...
They were sleeping in their cars. Parents were sleeping in their cars or just weren't able to visit because they had other kids at home, so they weren't able to come and visit every day. Mm-hmm. And he saw that other people, kids and adults, were lonely in hospital.
Where is Tranquility House?
It's in Rathgar.
And he chose the location because?
Well, we were looking for somewhere relatively near the hospital, and we were looking for somewhere that could be broken into individual units so the families could be isolated from each other for germ reasons, especially if we wanted to host a patient the odd time to let them out for the weekend to visit with family. So this house...
And the public transport links to all the hospitals.
Exactly.
As well,
so. And this was a pre-63 house, so we were able to do things to it. And it took us a couple of years after we bought it, and we were only able to buy it because of Owen McDermott's head shave. Thanks, Owen. But it was after that and after COVID that we were able to get it together to get a crew and amazing volunteers and companies to give time and labour worth over 2 million.
And that's what the ball is about.
The ball is about keeping the doors open.
Yeah.
Actually opening it up to families and keeping the doors open because it's going to take a couple hundred thousand a year to fund it. So we need people, preferably, to do regular donations. In other words, sign up for monthly donations.
Yeah.
€32 hosts a family for a night.
And the ball, it's all happening very soon.
Ball is the 6th of December, mm-hmm. but also people can go on the website, www.jbcff.com, and there's a donation page there and more information about the ball.
And you've been involved, the ball has gone for, he's had a ball himself, hasn't he?
Since 2018.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been to all of them bar last year when I was in America, and you know, that drives me crazy. But
and your old friends from the UCD.
Oh, all the girls will be there. Yeah, all the girls.
This is where you met Robbie Keane, is it? That the UCD stuff?
No. I actually was dating Rob for, we were just talking about this earlier on, for a year, and we'd had a really, really nice time of nobody knowing that we...
So you went public at the fashion show.
Well, accidentally, as in he said, I want to come and watch you. And I said, oh, do you really think it's a good idea? Yeah. Because this was my second year now to do it.
Right.
And I
the
said,
eyes of the world were such, on him the whole time.
Yeah, because we've had such a good, fun year and no pressure, you know, and I'm still very young. I'm in university here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in the news at the moment, you know. I just need to pass my exams and get through my university years. And he shows up and that went out the window very quickly. I remember the photographer that was there was like, can I get the first shot? And I said, no.
And it was off.
I said, no. And he said, well, there's loads waiting outside there. So you either get to pick this or go out there. And, you know, and I said, OK, that's it. But it was a year into our relationship.
It sounds like a pain, but it worked out fine.
It worked out fine. Even with all it that worked stress. Out fine. Yeah.
How many years later and two boys?
So 22 years later and wow. two boys later and 17 years married in June.
Well,
so a long time. Yeah, I met Rob obviously when I was 18. So just around that first time when I was...
We know the phenomenal career he had in the Ireland shirt.
Yeah, incredible.
Record goal scorer, record appearances.
Yeah.
And he's having a very good career as a manager.
Yeah, I mean, I was on a show last night and my cousin was there in the background telling me, thumbs up, and you know when they scored, they were playing against Fenerbahce, and he's gotten unbeaten in Europe. So it's just incredible. The club have never been in this position before. So.
How do you pronounce this club in Hungary that he's managing?
Fenerbahce. Yeah,
because I keep going to Fenerbahce in my head.
Yeah, but people say Fraudy for short if they so even over there.
So he brought them to win the league.
Yeah.
And then they're in the Europa.
I think they sit third in the Europa League, like above Roma, yeah. Fenerbahce, Celtic.
A really difficult group.
Aston Villa's in it as well. Yeah, they've never been so high up before. So it's like, it's extraordinary. They've gone unbeaten, as I said. And I mean, if you think of the budget of someone like Fenerbahce, like it's probably 20 times their budget. So, you know, you've got all these Premiership players that are playing over there. So it's really, it's been amazing. And I'm so delighted for him.
You've travelled the world together on this mad football adventure. And he's in Hungary now and the
boys are in school here. And
it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, it's his passion. And I feel like, you know, I always knew that this was going to be where he'd want to go. And I fully support it. I know one time we'll find a base where we can all be together when, you know, this is the time where he needs to do his thing and get his experience. And he's doing a great job. So we're all happy.
And you're fiercely protective of him, aren't you? Because they come from the odd time.
Oh, gosh, I am. Yeah. Better woman. I think between my son, my sons will always say, we'll go to mom first because mom can solve anything. And, you know, my mom was a bit like that, too. I think Irish mommies are very protective of their kids and their family in general, you know. So yeah, no, I'm ready to take on whoever comes.
Is that from running a house of men?
Yeah, and only having a brother.
Oh right,
I've no sisters, so I'm so used to boys and boys running around my house all through my life. I was actually quite a tomboy growing up. I was so into sport. I was a horse rider. I was on the PlayStation with the lads, so I'm used to the boy energy. You know, it's no surprise I've had two boys.
Did you keep up any sport, by the way?
I kept up horse riding for a long time, probably up until I did my leaving cert, and then I kind of fell back a bit. I used to do some show jumping and stuff, and my family had a stud farm in Treskin Stud Farm, County Leash. Yes. So I'd be down there every weekend on the horses, and I really enjoyed that side of my life as well.
Do you still get up on a horse every now and again?
Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. But I'd be a bit rusty now. Rob fancies himself a bit of a horse rider.
Does he
but
really?
I like when he gets up and he's holding the reins, I'm like, you really don't know. Like
Robbie Keane on horseback.
Yeah.
That's a side
I know. No, I know.
I just say that if Julian was involved in this conversation, there would be innuendos thrown left, right, and centre for all those things you've just said.
I can absolutely imagine. Oh my God.
Let me tell people one more time about the charity ball. Julian's charity ball, it's on Saturday, 6th of December. That's tomorrow week.
Yes.
And it's been running for a couple of years. And the details, what do I have? jbcff.com.
That's it.
You can make a donation there. It's in the Clayton Hotel in Ballsbridge as well. You've done a lovely thing, lovely memories of Julian. Thank you both so
much.
Thank you,
for coming in. Sarah McKenna and Claudine Keane.
Thank you.
Thank you.